translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Being beyond the range of limited sense perception, you were the eternally irreproachable factor covered by the curtain of deluding energy. You are invisible to the foolish observer, exactly as an actor dressed as a player is not recognized. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Sri Krishna affirms that less intelligent persons mistake him to be an ordinary man like us, and thus they deride him. Anyone knows which verse Prabhupada is referring to here? Yes. Avajananti mamuda. So, persons mistake him to be an ordinary man like us, and thus they deride him. The same is confirmed herein by Queen Kunti. The less intelligent persons are those who rebel against the authority of the Lord. Such persons are known as asuras. The asuras cannot recognize the Lord's authority. When the Lord Himself appears amongst us as Ram, Nrisimha, Varaha, or in His original form as Krishna, He performs many wonderful acts which are humanly impossible, as we shall find in the 10th canto of this great literature. Lord Sri Krishna exhibited His humanly impossible activities even from the days of His lying on the lap of His mother. He killed the Putana witch, although she smeared her breasts with poison just to kill the Lord. The Lord sucked her breast like a natural baby, and He sucked out her very life also. Similarly, He lifted the Govardhan Hill just as a boy picks up a frog's umbrella, and stood several days continuously just to give protection to the residents of Vrindavan. These are some of the superhuman activities of the Lord described in the authoritative Vedic literatures, like the Puranas, Itihasas, histories, and Upanishads. He has delivered wonderful instructions in the shape of the Bhagavad Gita. He has shown marvelous capacities as a hero, as a householder, as a teacher, and as a renouncer. He is accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead by such authoritative personalities as Vyasa, Deval, Asita, Narada, Madhva, Shankara, Ramanuja, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jiva Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and all other authorities of the line. He means himself as well. Of the line. He Himself has declared as much in many places of the authentic literatures. And yet there is a class of men with demonic mentality who are always reluctant to accept the Lord as the Supreme Absolute Truth. This is partially due to their poor fund of knowledge, and partially due to their stubborn obstinacy, which results from various misdeeds in the past and present. Such persons could not recognize Lord Shri Krishna even when he was present before them. Another difficulty is that those who depend more on their imperfect senses cannot recognize him as the Supreme Lord. Such persons are like the modern scientist. They want to know everything by their experimental knowledge, but it is not possible to know the Supreme Person by imperfect experimental knowledge. He is described herein as Adhokshaja, or beyond the range of experimental knowledge. All our senses are imperfect. We claim to observe everything and anything, but we cannot admit that we can observe things under certain material conditions only, which are all also beyond our control. The Lord is beyond the observation of sense perception. Queen Kunti accepts this deficiency of the conditioned soul, especially of the woman class, who are less intelligent. For less intelligent men, there must be such things as temples, mosques, and churches, so that they may begin to recognize the authority of the Lord and hear about him from authorities in such holy places. For less intelligent men, this beginning of spiritual life is essential, and only foolish men decry the establishment of such places of worship, which are required to raise the standard of spiritual attributes for the mass of people. For less intelligent persons, bowing down before the authority of the Lord, as generally done in temples, mosques, or churches, is as beneficial as it is for the advanced devotees to meditate upon him by active service. End of purport. The verse reads again, Maya javani kachanam agyadoksha jamavyayam na lakshase mudadirsha na tu natyadaro yatha. Translation, being beyond the range of limited sense perception, you are the eternally irreproachable factor covered by the curtain of deluding energy. You are invisible to the foolish observer, exactly as an actor dressed as a player is not recognized. Mukham karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripatam aham bande shi gurun dinatarinam. So this is a very important section, as we mentioned. Srimad Bhagavatam is full of many wonderful prayers offered by the Lord's devotees. And I would like to ask if you want to suggest what places are there where the prayers of the devotees are given in the Bhagavatam. Anyone wants to suggest? Prahlad Maharaj, yes. Very good. Gajendra, yes. Pardon me? Oh, Dhruva Maharaj, okay. Queen Kunti, here, yes. Especially it's what we're reading now. Vandanam, offering of prayers. Do you know which devotee is known as someone who perfected his life through the process of Vandanam prayers? Akura. When did he offer prayers to Krishna? Yes. So Akura came to Vrindavan on the order of Kansa, trying to take Krishna to Mathura, and he saw Krishna's mystical display and started offering prayers. There are many, many other places. Maybe one of the most difficult chapters in Krishna book, for me at least, is reading about the prayers of the demigods in the womb of who are praying to Krishna, who is in the womb of his mother. At least when I was a younger devotee, I kind of always thought that that was very difficult. Later on, maybe a little bit better. I enjoy reading these passages now because in those prayers, there's a lot of many instructions of how to understand the Lord and how to offer service to Krishna. So these are very important parts of this great literature, Srimad Bhagavatam. And here we're hearing about the prayers offered by Queen Kunti. Queen Kunti is the mother of the Pandavas, and they had to undergo a lot of tribulations. And even after they won the battle of Kurukshetra and became the emperors, Maharaj Yudhishthira became the emperor, they still had trouble. And here Queen Kunti is offering prayers to Krishna, who has always been the protector of his devotees. There's many, many accounts how Krishna protected his devotees. So oftentimes we wondering why the devotees have to undergo so much trouble. If we are surrendered to, trying to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, can't he just do like this and solve all our problems? Yes, he can. But the idea is that Krishna wants us to learn certain things. He teaches us always. And he arranges the difficulties that we undergo so that we can learn the process of surrender. We can learn how to always seek his shelter. Because right now, we may not be fully expert in this process of always taking Krishna's shelter. So let's go through the purport and see some of the points that Prabhupada is making. It's a very beautiful verse, very wonderful verse, and also purport. So we said that the less intelligent persons mistake Krishna to be an ordinary man like us. Avajananti mammuda. And then Krishna Krishna, Srila Prabhupada explains what he means by less intelligent people, less intelligent men. Less intelligent doesn't mean someone who has got no knowledge, someone who's got very limited information. Someone may have a lot of information. Someone may know even a lot of shastras. I'll give you one example. In the Ramayana, it's described that Ravan, who was, by the way, a son of a Brahmana, Ravan's father was a Brahmana, so from very young age, he was taught the scriptures, the Vedic scriptures, and he knew them. He knew them very, very extensively. He was so expert that he would always also be invited by certain personalities, demigods, and other persons to perform yagyas. He was an expert priest as well. But do we consider him less intelligent? Yeah? Is he a fool, Ravan? Why was he a fool if he was so learned and so expert? Huh? Because he didn't accept the authority of Krishna. He was rebelling. He was rebelling against the authority of Krishna. So, apparently Prabhupada measures here the ability to have knowledge, not by how much knowledge you have, but how you use that knowledge. And there's this famous, I don't know how famous, but I've seen it several times on Ratha Yatra Day. Some devotees perform a little a skit. There's two people. One is rowing the boat, and they're talking with each other, and the passenger, the one who is taken by the boat, he's boasting with his knowledge and everything. He's very proud. And at one point, the boat starts sinking, and that boatman, he says that the guy who was sinking wasted his life. So people are very proud of their knowledge, but that knowledge will not be able to save them at the time of death. So one who can surrender to the Lord, he has understood the import of the Vedas. One who can take this knowledge and apply it in his life. I mean, how much can we know anyway? How big scholars can we be? Just take, for example, such great personalities as Jiva Goswami. He's considered to be the greatest philosopher of all times. And he knew all the shastras, all the scriptures. And all these scriptures, they are meant to bring us to the point of surrendering to Krishna. Because if we don't surrender to Krishna, then we have to take birth again. And we don't want to do that, do we? So asuras cannot recognize the Lord, cannot recognize the Lord's authority. I was trying to understand this point. The asuras cannot recognize the Lord's authority. How do we recognize the Lord's authority? By accepting his words? his instructions in the Bhagavad Gita. But we can only do that by the mercy of a Vaishnava, of a pure devotee, like Srila Prabhupada, who teaches us how to apply this knowledge. Prabhupada was the perfect example of the application of this philosophy. We're not just dry scholars. This knowledge becomes alive for us if we're serious in our spiritual life. So the less intelligent people, although they can see that the Lord performs various superhuman activities, like Prabhupada gives reference in the purport to Krishna's activities in Vrindavan when he was from a young age, he was performing miracles. When I used to hear this in the beginning, of course, I was thinking, I'm a devotee, I believe these things, you know, they have happened in the past. Krishna has done those things. But, you know, if you think deeply about it, it's very, very difficult to conceive of how someone can perform these kind of activities. I mean, to suck someone's life, you know, when they breastfeed someone, and no one can do that. Only Krishna can do that. Nowadays they concoct so many different types of weaponry and like that, and they're trying to become strong and protect themselves and attack others to take their things and usurp others. But Krishna, he can do anything. Lord Balaram, when he went to this assembly of sages who were discussing the scriptures and Ramaharshan Sutta, he was a little bit proud. So how did Lord Balaram kill him? Just with a straw, with grass. Can we do such a thing? No. So Krishna's activities are superhuman. No, that means that no human being can perform those. And even though the demons can witness those activities, they still don't surrender. They're very, very stubborn. Jarasandha, he was attacking Krishna. How many times? 28 times? 17 times? 17 times. Krishna would destroy his army completely. And he would again attack. So Krishna, for some reason, Krishna didn't want to kill him. But as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, paritranaya sadhunami, yada yada hidarmasya glanir bhavati bharata. So Krishna comes to reestablish the religious principles, and he comes to punish the demons, the miscreants. So he was reading the world of the heavy burden, military burden. Also, he arranged for the battle of Kurukshetra. It was Krishna who wanted it, because he wanted to reduce the weight of those weapons. Bhumi Devi is a person, and she feels uncomfortable. Can you imagine if one day they start piling on you different kinds of weaponry, the heavy metal weapons, and it just keep piling on you, keep piling on you. You feel pushed down by the weight. So these rascals, the demons, asuras, even though this so many evidences in the scriptures given by the authorities, Jashishi Radhagokulananda, Shishi Sitram Lakshman, Hanuman Gornita Ki Jaya. Even though there's ample descriptions of Krishna's supremacy, of Krishna's qualities, etc., etc., in all the revealed scriptures, they wouldn't accept Krishna as the Supreme Lord. They think that he's just like one of us. And they deride Krishna. The demons deride Krishna. At the Rajasuya sacrifice, which was performed by Maharaj Yudhishthira, there were many people assembled, and Krishna was chosen as the main person, as the most important personality. They were going to offer him homage and respect. And there was one person, one of those asuras that are described here, who completely freaked out. Do you know who was that? Shishupal, yes. So Krishna has kindly waited for this Shishupala to speak out his crazy criticisms, and he had decided that if he utters the 100th criticism, that's it, finished. So he was, can you imagine if someone speaks about you, how do you feel? Not in a nice way. If someone starts criticizing you, how do you feel? You feel horrible. You want to slap him. You want to leave the place or do something else. If I start speaking about your glories, you enjoy it. You hear it and you want to hear more. And like that, so that's how it happens. So Shishupal was criticizing Krishna and blaspheming. And the devotees around him, they're ready to jump on him, and especially Bhima, and destroy him. But Krishna was just waiting and hearing and like that. By the way, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentaries, he has turned all these criticism and blasphemy of Shishupala into glorification. It's amazing, the ability of the Vaishnavas to see things in a positive way. Anyway, so Shishupala uttered the 100th blasphemy against Krishna, and Krishna said, sorry, now it's time to fill my chakra. Boom. And his head was severed. So this is how the demons, they really, really freak out and they don't accept Krishna's authority. Now we have to realize one thing, that when Prabhupada speaks in his books about demons and materialists and like that, he speaks in general, of course, but we have to also understand that we may also find some of those tendencies in ourselves, isn't it? I can speak about myself. I haven't fully accepted Krishna's authority. I haven't fully accepted Krishna's position as the Supreme Personality of God. Sometimes I rebel, you know. I have a lot of health issues, and sometimes it's so difficult. I become a little bit resentful. Of course, I hope I never give up the process of Krishna consciousness, but sometimes it becomes very difficult. And the one question which always comes up is, why me? Why do I have to suffer? Why do good people have to suffer? I'm trying to be good, and I have to suffer. We don't like to suffer. But these things, actually, this suffering, those calamities that may come upon us, believe it or not, they're Krishna's mercy upon us. And Kunti Devi, in her prayers, she says, may all these calamities come again and again, because we are forced to depend on Krishna's protection and mercy at such times. So that's the beauty of Krishna consciousness, that when it's tough, there's a saying, when the going gets tough, the tough gets going, something like that. So it's tough, very tough. And we're very lucky because we have come in contact with such great personality as Srila Prabhupada, and he's teaching us by his example. Everyone has to undergo tribulations. Prabhupada, look at his life. I mean, two heart attacks on the voyage to America. It's... I remember my mother about how many years? Maybe 10 years ago, my mother had a minor heart attack, very small. But she was like, her life completely changed after that. She was declared disabled person, got some money from the government, because she had this heart attack. And Prabhupada had two of them, one after the other. And in the sea, I mean, anyone been on a boat, long distance, traveling? Yeah? Is it difficult? Yeah, the seasickness? You want to vomit all the time, isn't it? It's a very difficult experience. So Prabhupada underwent so many difficulties. But what happened when he had these heart attacks? He saw Krishna. Krishna is not cheap. You have to undergo some difficulties if you want to get his darshan. It's not easy. So, then one good point about this purport is about Krishna being Natodara. Krishna is compared here to an artist, an actor. That's quite interesting. When you watch a movie or some performance, theatrical performance, you see someone who know. Oftentimes, actually, funny thing is, during the Sankirtan festival, there was a skit by the Bhaktivedanta players, and one of the brahmacharis. One of the boys, I don't see him. I saw him earlier on today. He was dressed as a woman, as an attractive young woman. And I mean, he looked exactly like a woman. It's amazing. He's kind of a little sweet kind of face. And I was thinking, my God, is this a man or woman? And I think, oh yeah, I know, I can recognize him. So, but when we watch a drama or some performance, we oftentimes know who is the actor, but we completely ignore that. We don't see the actor as Radha Mohan, for example, or Dwaraka Puri Prabhu. We see the character that they try to enact, and it's amazing. So when you're watching a film or some kind of performance, as I said, you completely ignore the fact that that's somebody you know, because all these actors that play in the movies, they're famous people. They're well known for their acting, but you become so much absorbed in the plot, in the movie itself, that you completely forget that this is a normal person. They have their life, they have their troubles, and a lot of times very turmoil kind of lives, you know, they go through a lot of relationships and this and that, and oftentimes they commit suicide or they destroy themselves with drugs and like that. So they're just like us, like normal people, but we tend to forget that. We tend to forget that. So Krishna is the same in the sense that he comes and performs his wonderful pastimes, and they like dramas. They like theatrical performance. And he does that to attract our attention, like a movie trailer. Movie trailer makes you want to go and see the film, the whole complete film. So Krishna, he shows his pastimes here and attracts our minds, and we develop strong desire to go and participate in those pastimes in the spiritual world directly. So Krishna is that wonderful actor, and we cannot see him. Another example which is connected to that is when you have a puppet show, you don't see the person who is behind the curtain. You can only see the puppets doing different things. But actually, behind those puppets, there's an actor, there's someone who's controlling them, and like that. So Krishna is behind the curtain. We can't see him. In the Ishupanishad, the devotee towards the end of the Upanishad prays to Krishna to remove that curtain of Maya. And actually, it's not that Krishna is covered by that illusion. It's us. Like when we look at the sun, we think that the sun is covered by the clouds, so we can't see the sun. But actually, our vision is covered by the clouds. Therefore, we don't see the sun. Sun is never covered. How can you cover the sun? It's such a huge, powerful planet. So like that. And our consciousness is covered by the illusion of Maya. And we cannot see Krishna, even though Krishna is here. Krishna is always here, and he's completely present. Krishna is in your heart, in Miss Mataji's heart. He is everywhere in everyone's heart. He is especially in the temples. But in the temples, it's easier to remember Krishna. That's why Prabhupada says in the purport that the reason for these temples is to allow less intelligent persons. He mentions about women, but in Kali Yuga, oftentimes men are less than women, less intelligent. So that's kind of one platform. These temples are necessary because when we come to the temple, we are able to see the form of the Lord, to be reminded of Him. And the most important thing, as Prabhupada says in the purport, is that in the temples, we have the opportunity to hear about Krishna. And he is the wonderful actor who I was referring about to. Sorry, I didn't want to embarrass you. Just, I was saying about sometimes actors can get dressed as a different person. And you looked very good in your woman's attire during the Sangharam festival. Look perfect. So, yeah, I think we should finish there. As a conclusion, what can I say? I can only say that we have to pray to Krishna to remove that curtain which blocks our eyes and allow us to see Him everywhere. It is possible. Many devotees have done it. They've shown us by their example. And like that. So by hearing about Krishna from Krishna's pure representatives, we can get a glimpse of what it is to be fully Krishna conscious. And it's the most wonderful thing, actually. It's our natural position. Our natural position. We're naturally Krishna conscious, but we're covered now by the illusory energy. So we pray to Krishna to remove his maya and allow us to have a glimpse of his wonderful qualities and form, pastimes, etc. All right, so I'll stop there. If anyone wants to give a comment or maybe ask a question.